Then we're going to turn it over. So God, we just thank you for this man. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, that he is a living epistle. And today, Lord, we thank you that those things that have been written on his heart by your hand, Lord, will be released, Lord, with power and with anointing. Father, we thank you for the message, God, that he's bringing to us today. And we're just asking, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive, Lord, that which you have, Lord, for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Scott. It'd be kind of nice for this year if Scott could call all of us when we wake up in the morning and encourage us with like some prayer or something like that. Or he's a pretty encouraging dude. And it's kind of funny because we were singing that song about the Lord's Prayer, but this whole message is about the community of the Lord's Prayer, like forming a community that lives this prayer out. Because I think I talked a little bit ago about how the Lord's Prayer applies to our lives. But what's it look like to make that in a community, to live that community out? And I'm excited because I think that we're in a season where God's redeeming the times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the last couple of years are really hard for a lot of people. And I just feel it's in the atmosphere. God's redeeming the times and the seasons. So what Sharon was saying was true. If there is a promise that God's given us, or if there is a word or a message or whatever it is, like hold on to that and contend for that. You know, and this body is a house of prayer. We're called to contend for the things God gives us. And that's every life here. So don't give up. Yeah. You know, because I'm, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, 10 years ago, or 11 years ago, you know, I got married really young the first time. And to be kind of transparent about my life, you know, it was, you know, and my ex, like, she ran away from the Lord and left me. And that was 2007. At the same time, I herniated 4 discs in my back. I lost my job. And my grandfather died 6 months before that happened. So it was a lot of stuff. And, you know, in that time, it was really dark, but I could sense the Lord, his peace was still there. It wasn't like God was giving me a sorts of miraculous, like, encounters or something. But there was a sense that he was with me, you know. And then, you know, in 2015, God redeemed my story. And he's redeeming my story, you know. So hold on to that. You know what I mean? It's not some, like, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas story thing, man. It's, like, real stuff. God redeems people, man. You know what I mean? It's real stuff. And I know he wants to redeem the vision of a house of prayer again in this city. Like, this is who we are. And, you know, what God gave Scott and the people that founded this place is still good and valid. That didn't stop. And we need to go after this. Like, the Lord was telling me, actually, one thing that we went to, my wife and I went to, is the Lord was saying, no, who's going to contend for the city of Lincoln? You know, he was challenging me with that question. And I know that we're called to contend for the city of Lincoln. There's something about Springfield that carries that deposit of what was on that man. That man was about unifying a broken country. He was about setting captives free. He was about unity. And, like, that's over the city, and that's why there's a lot of contention over this city, and that's of warfare over this city. We can all feel that here. It's a hard place. But if you've been called here, it wasn't for nothing. It was for a reason. No matter where God positions you in this city, you know, take up arms and fight and contend. And a part of fighting and contending is intimacy. So let's turn to Matthew 6, because we're going to kind of look at this community of prayer the Lord initiates with this message. Like, this is the Sermon on the Mount. We all kind of know this. If you've been a Christian or you study the Bible for any length of time, this is kind of the ABCs, you know, but the ABCs are hard. You know, we can't do this stuff without the grace of God. It was never intended, the Sermon on the Mount, to be lived out without the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit. We can't live this without him. But let's turn to Matthew 6, verse 5. And Jesus is going to talk about prayer here. And it kind of goes back and forth a little bit from talking about individual prayer and praying to our Father, but the Our Father isn't meant to be prayed my Father, it's our Father. It's a community prayer. He's inaugurating a community of living this prayer out and what that looks like. So I guess my question is, what does that look like? Because that's what I'm in a season of seeking. Like, God, what is a community of the Lord's Prayer? Whether this concept of what this is, what does this look like? I think he's calling us into that as a church to live out this prayer, because that's our inheritance in Christ, because he's our Father. And we'll talk more about that. But he says in verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the, and I'm reading from the NLT, so if you got another translation, it's going to sound kind of wonky, this kind of simplifies stuff, so bear with me. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as other people do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Then he goes on. But just with that, the Lord's addressing individual prayer. And I'm personally kind of given to like to be alone with the Lord, and you know, I'm more introverted by nature, so people kind of exhaust me, you know what I mean? Like, I love people. Even when I did a really public thing for 10 years, I loved the kids, but I have to go home and be alone for a while, you know what I mean? Because people just, but my wife's an extrovert, so she gets a charge out of being around people. So she gets really excited, and she comes home really energized, and I'm just like, man, I gotta sit down, man. These people wore me out, you know? But that's just the difference between people. That's cool, you know? But I like that the Lord starts off with saying, when you go pray, shut yourself in an inner room and talk to the Father who sees you in secret. So there's that dimension of the life of prayer. There is an individual life for prayer where we find the Lord in his presence, and we're spending time with the Lord, and the Lord deposits things to us in that place. And we can't have anything to give out to this hurting world without that. You know, so it's really important. As a community, when we all get together, there's another dimension of bringing what God shows us in the secret place together. It's like we're all giving this treasure, and we're all kind of like leaving it here, and the community can kind of see that and get life off of that. Because the presence of God is always giving life. It doesn't give condemnation. It doesn't give, you know, he doesn't want to beat us up. He's a good father, right? That's his nature. So I like that dimension. The Lord starts off with that. There's an individual place where we can see the Lord and be accepted by the Lord. Then it goes to this communal prayer, which can be prayed individually. I like to pray this myself. It kind of gets me in the rhythm of prayer. And my heart feels disconnected from God when I wake up, this prayer kind of helps me reconnect with him because he's our Father. And just that concept, that line alone, we're going to dive more into that. But we have to teach people, and the community has to be able to teach this too, like it's all rooted in our identity as sons and daughters of the Father. That's what it's all about. And the coming movement that's coming is about God fathering people, especially orphans, people who feel orphaned from the Father. He's drawing them home. And that's the good news of the gospel. So I'm going to read verse 9. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, and this is going to sound a little different, this is a different translation, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come soon, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So the first point the Lord really makes, the first point Jesus makes is creating a community of prayer is that it's we approach God as Father. And that's the whole point of Christ, is to reveal God's heart as Father of creation. Because a lot of times we think God, we have a wrong image and a wrong view of the Father. We think the Father's, you know, out to get us. We've heard this message a lot, especially in the prayer movement. But it's always good to remind ourselves because, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I feel alienated from the Lord sometimes. You know what I mean? You wake up and you're a grouch. And you have to kind of get reconnected again, you know? It's just how it works. And reminding ourselves of his goodness, of his mercy, of his kindness draws us back to him. And what's that look like as a community of being a community of the Father's heart that draws orphans to him, that tells those who are broken to come, you know, because when God created everything, it was good. He said it was very good. And then creation was broken. You know, it was almost like God made this mirror to reflect his image in creation, and it was shattered. And there's all these little pieces that are us, and we're all broken. But God wants to glue those things back together and redeem them. That's the season we're in, is redemption. God's redeeming our stories. That's what he does. You know, he's a good father. So it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter how broken you are. God can heal that and redeem that. That's why it's necessary to sit with people that have, especially have gifts of inner healing and different types of ministries. But as a community, we should encourage healing. It's not a community to throw people out for not looking the part or acting the part or being a little strange or different. You know, I met with one of my old kids yesterday, and he's a punk, you know, and he is what he is. You know, he's like, he's a good guy, but he's confused about Christianity and the faith and everything like that. And he was telling me, you know, Kevin, I appreciate you teaching me about Jesus. I think he was a good guy, but, you know, he's sort of stuck. And, but there's that little nugget, that little bit is like, but I still want to pray with you. I still want to, like, you know, interact with this and what this looks like. But he's coming confused because he's coming out of a lot of things. And we have to work with people and where they're coming from. You know, they're not going to get healed overnight sometimes. Sometimes they will. But as a community, we have to be able to have a place where people can be safe to be messy. And a lot of times as a church, we've been afraid to let people be messy. And, you know, that's something we got to repent of, you know, because that's not what's going to happen. There's going to be people coming that are a total mess. But it's like Jesus to embrace those that are a mess. He doesn't cast them out, you know. The Father's heart is to come home, you know. It was 2009, and I was actually the first time that Lou Engle and Kirk Bennett came to Springfield. There was a prayer that was released, you know, for the Spirit of Prayer or something like that, you know, and Lou's up there doing this thing. And it really, you know, I felt like the Lord deposited something in me, and I went to sleep that night. And when I was kind of between sleeping and awakening, I heard a distinct voice of the Lord say, you know, I want you to go on a fast, you know, for 37 days. And I went on this fast and did the thing. And at the end of what the Lord really spoke to me, was telling me at the end of it, was that, you know, the message is for people to come home. That's the message of the hour, is to come home. Come home and eat, you know. And when you eat with the Father and you fellowship with the Father and know who you are, you just remember, it's got to be a heart change. The rest of it will follow. If we have confidence in the Lord being our Redeemer, it will happen. It will follow, you know. It doesn't matter what we're struggling with or what people are coming in with their burdens and their brokenness. If we let the Lord be the Lord, he'll be the Redeemer. And I have confidence in him to be the Redeemer, you know. And instead of being impatient and wanting to throw people out, we have to embrace people and let them come in. You know, and if they're being a danger or something, if there's someone coming in with like a hatchet and want to hack us or something, that's different, right? You know, that's not cool. That's not cool at all, man. Yeah. So that's something, you know, something that I think the Lord's putting on us, though, is to anticipate broken people coming and to be okay with that. And to try to encourage the Lord to heal us, because I've been able to go to some of the meetings that Greg's doing, and he's going through the book, Living Through the Heart Jesus Gave You. That's the life model. It's a really good resource, and so much of it we forget that a broken heart sometimes has a hard time hearing the Lord because our image of God has been kind of broken and shattered based on our own brokenness. You know, like the Lord's really shining and beautiful and good, but because we've seen bad human leadership, we think God's out to, you know, manipulate us or control us or to hurt us, you know, and that's not his heart. And so he has to kind of show us in the inner place of who we are, because the heart is the inner part of us. It's the seat of the will. It's the center of the human being. And we live in a culture that doesn't really acknowledge that very much. It's a culture that's very much secularized. And the only thing that matters is what's physical and what can be measured in a lab or something. And you can't measure those things in a lab. You know, that's a good type of knowledge because it built railroads and we have electricity because someone decided to do that. That kind of knowledge is great. And the church should encourage that. We should encourage science. But there's another type of knowledge that's only known in the spirit. That's only known in the heart of people. And that's where God abides and God speaks to. We can only know God that way. We can know sketches of God, that he created things, and like we know that the cup exists, but we can't drink the water unless we drink the water. You know, and that comes with letting God fill us with his spirit and reveal that to us. So that has to be known in that way. The Lord's Prayer encourages that. It puts us in a place to hear God. So it's a type of a discipline. It's a written prayer, and a lot of us who come from, maybe you came from a liturgical church and people gave liturgical prayers all the time, and it doesn't seem like it's the Lord. I mean, the Psalms are full of liturgical prayers, guys. I mean, that's what it is. Israel prayed these prayers 24/7. Liturgy isn't bad, like the Lord's Prayer isn't bad, but it's a heart posture. Is it a prayer to the Lord? Is it worship? Or is it just like, our Father, blah, 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 it's time to go on Facebook and eat Doritos, you know what I mean? Like, that's not the attitude, you know? But if it's an attitude of worship and engaging with the Lord, these things set a rhythm of prayer. What we want to establish as a community is a rhythm of prayer. So it's like we seek the Lord in the morning. There's a time to remember the Lord in the middle of the day. There's a time to remember the Lord at night. And we can do that individually, and we can also do that corporately. So we can set that in motion. And that's what the ancient Christians have done throughout the centuries. It was like, let's keep remembering the Lord throughout the day, to keep engaging with the Lord, not to forget him. because it's easy to forget, especially when times are busy. And we live in a culture that's extremely busy, and it always saps our time and drains our time. Like, social media is great, but I mean, we've been on a fast from it for this month, and it's been kind of nice. It's like life slows down a little bit. Yeah. Not worried about what someone cares about your stupid internet stuff, you know? It's nice. So there's freedom in it, but it's also a great tool too. It depends how we use it, you know? But that's kind of what I think he's calling us to, is to slow down parts of our day and to remember him, to engage with the Lord, and to keep that cycle of prayer going and burning again. You know, I think he's calling us to re-up that. Okay, so the Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May our community remember your name and to keep it sacred. That's kind of what it's talking about, what the Lord's asking, is stressing. It's like keeping that name holy, to keep that name before us, to remember him, and to also put him in his proper place as king. You know, the kid I met with, he thinks Jesus is a good teacher, for instance. For this is a good illustration. Like, he thinks Jesus is a good teacher and he's a good man, but doesn't know him as Lord and as God. And that's the difference. He is a good teacher. He is a good guy, but he's also Lord and God. And the early church believed that. It isn't just, he's just a moral teacher. He's the king, but he's a good king. He's one we can actually trust. I forget who said it, but I think it was some political analyst who said, like, secretly everybody really wants a good dictator. That's a form of government everybody really wants. Yeah. They want someone to do everything for them and to take care of them. But that's the desire for God and his rulership, you know? Because we want someone to govern us rightly. We want someone to support us and to help us become who we're meant to be. And that's what God's Spirit does. But we look for it in people. And, you know, people are going to fail us. You know, there's no truly righteous government, but the kingdom of God is. So what our task to do is to bring that to earth, is to pray, God, let your kingdom come. You know, and it's one of those things where the kingdom's here, but it's not all the way here yet. That's how the Bible kind of works. There's a tension here. God's kingdom has come. Christ has come. He is risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, which was an important part of the early church and what they taught. It's actually Psalm 110. But it's also coming. It's not fully here, but it is here. But we're praying it increases in our everyday life. It increases. God's rule and his goodness just permeates through us and around us. And the creative community, where that's the center, is God and his goodness, because it redeems creation and brings it back to him. And every life here has, God made each life unique. He made each life for him. And we all have different gifts and different ways to connect with the Lord and different strengths. And he wants to see all those things into their fullness. The kingdom of God produces life. It's like trees and shoots. It's like out of the dirt. It's like it's poetic and stuff. It's like nature. You know, it's not like some kind of 5-year business plan. You know, it's like how the church just kind of modeled the kingdom. It's like, you know, increase church growth by 5% every year by blah, 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 Dr. Blah, blah, blah's book. You know, and that's how a lot of pastors have tried to deal with the church. It's like God's a CEO and we're all his henchmen, his corporate goons or something, you know? And that's not the kingdom of God, you know? I don't want to be his corporate goon. I want to be a son, you know? You know what I mean? And so it grows organically. It's like the life that the Father has given us will come to completion. And we water and nurture those things by prayer and by a community of prayer, of interaction with the Lord, of letting him shine on us. Because often we want to clothe and, you know, when we're hurting or we're broken or whatever it is, we want to like cloak ourselves and hide from the Lord. That's what Adam and Eve did when they sinned. It's like, well, let's go hide, you know, instead of just like coming to him like, Lord, look what we did. It's like they went and hid, you know. So that's what human beings have always been doing, is let's run and hide, you know. But he wants us to come to him and expose ourselves to the light, because when we're in the light, as he is in the light, you know, we come into that. And we're changed, and we receive the forgiveness, and receive the healing. Like, we don't have to run from the Father. So we have to get that idea out of our heads that he's out to strike us down. Like, God is a judge, and he's going to judge evil, but he doesn't want to hurt people, but he wants to remove wickedness because he wants to redeem creation. He wants to give people that he loves an earth without wickedness, without evil, without death, without suffering. So the kingdom of God, when it comes in its fullness at the end of things, or the eschaton, if you want to get technical, it's going to wipe away all that stuff. Like, it's a big broom. It's going to sweep it all away forever. All the wickedness, all the brokenness of humanity. And this place is going to be a renewed earth, a renewed creation. And we're all longing for that. Creation groans for that, right? We kind of feel it in ourselves. And that's what we're praying for. Like, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let it come among us. Let it draw the broken to you. And also, Lord, come and destroy evil. Judge evil and wickedness and help us. Because, like, evil is increasing. I mean, stuff's getting bad. And God, judge those things. God, heal us. You know, we need you. That's a real cry of our hearts. And that's okay to cry out for that. You know, that's a part of that community. And give us today the food we need. And there's a part about intercession and petition. God, you know, those prayers are in the Lord's Prayer. So if we're saying this, we can remember this. And not only just saying it, what I like to do sometimes is to say the Lord's Prayer, to space out, like, Father in heaven. And then you start to kind of meditate on him being the Father. Start to, like, connect with the Father and put your own pause for the Lord to talk to you in the prayer. You know, like, God's, you know, it's like adoration. God, I love and adore who you are. And the Lord will speak back. We have to create space in our prayers for God to speak back. A lot of times we just, Lord, I need a pony, and I need, like, a new job, and I need the Lakers to win. That's how we kind of approach prayer, you know. It's like this, like, laundry list of crap, you know. Instead of just like, Lord, I got some needs, but God, I need you more. And it's like, this is a hard posture. Like, it takes a long time to learn that, because I'm still learning that. I'm not some master at it. No one really is. Unless they're in heaven and they're dead, so don't worry about it, you know. But yeah, so this is kind of where I think he's leading us as a community. And we go down to forgive us our sins. That's really important. For us to thrive as a community of prayer and modeling this prayer, we have to forgive each other when we make each other mad, when we hurt each other, when we offend each other. There has to be a sense of, like I said earlier, like, it's okay to be messy. You know, it's okay to, and like, when we rub each other, sometimes that produces friction, but a lot of times that friction produces life. You know, it's like different personalities sometimes rub against each other the wrong way. But if we let the Lord kind of work in that and we have grace for each other, we learn how to love people that aren't like us. And that's a part about community that's hard sometimes. We want everybody to be like us. That'd be real easy, you know? And then that's not the truth. And that's not how it works. Come on. That's not how marriage works, right? You know, yeah. But you learn to love like Christ loves, and you learn to love people that are different than you, and you try to learn to love them unconditionally. And that's not easy. That takes grace, especially if you grew up in American culture like we all did as millennials and Gen Xers. It's like the whole culture was like, hey, you know, take what you want and screw everybody else and, you know, get yours, you know. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's something else. Yeah. And that's not how healthy things function. Healthy things function by creating life, about giving and receiving. You know, that's the kingdom of God. And that's what he's calling us to. And that comes in intimacy with the Father and to forgive and love each other. And it's okay if it's messy. It's okay if it's work, because it is work. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And I like this little cap on the end, because it's dealing with spiritual warfare. You know, because it's crying out, Lord, we don't want the wicked one to rule in this city. You know, we don't want to see families destroyed, lives destroyed. There's an opiate crisis going on in Illinois, you know. It's bad. You know, the enemy's killing our young. You know, what are we doing? You know, we have to question, like, Lord, what's our place in seeing Springfield restored, but contending for the city of Lincoln? You know, what are we going to do with these kids who are on this stuff? Because, you know, a couple of my kids, I don't know, maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, they got on that stuff. And it's a mess. You know, they'll steal from their friends. They'll, you know, they'll take whatever to feed their addiction. You know, that stuff's bad. And even though it was intended for good things, like it all comes from, you know, pain meds, but people abuse it. And then now it's becoming a crisis. And we have to pray that those structures are broken. Like, the trafficking in Springfield is broken. There's sex trafficking going on in Springfield. We got to pray those things are destroyed, that God judges those things and breaks those things, that addictions are broken, because we got a war over this city. You know, we're the church. You know, we have to rise up and to engage the powers, you know, the principalities, because they're there. We can't just, like, go out and do without the Lord telling us what to say. I think that's one part of intercession that I've learned over the years, is, like, we're trying to pray what the Lord is trying to pray through us. It's agreeing with heaven. You know, it's not just, Lord, stop the drug dealers. You know, it's like hearing the Lord's heart and trying to pray that into the atmosphere, agreeing with heaven. The more we agree with heaven, the more heaven's going to come. So, and I want to see this community raised up again. I believe in Scott's vision. You know, I believe in those roots of this place. And I think in the new building, we're going to try to make a conscious effort to have a room there for that to be the case. And to be realistically, it'll be open as much as we can have it open. But to encourage, it'll be a couple set hours of the day from what we're talking about, at least three. It'll be a morning, a noon, and an evening time, even if it's just like an hour or whatever. But people want to come together. We can't contend. But also throughout the day it's open, people just want to be with the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Father. It's all those things. But this is ancient stuff, and all revivals come through prayer. All revivals come through people crying out. Yeah. And, you know, and I grew up Pentecostal myself. You know, I was tired of hearing people talk about revival and gifts and stuff because they use those things to make money. A lot of them did. Some of it wasn't the Lord. Some of it was. But I want to see that term redeemed, you know. I want to see those Pentecostal roots redeemed. I want to see God's kingdom come because it isn't scary or weird or harmful. It's life. Yeah. You know, and I want to see that more than I think I want to see anything else right now, to be honest. And I think a lot of us feel the same because I'm tired of seeing things broken. I'm tired of feeling broken. It's like we will set the kingdom come, you know? And that's the challenge. And I think that he's called us to that, and that's where we're at. But we're going to do it. You know, we're going to knock it out. And we have to be faithful. So I just want to pray. I think that's really all I have to say. But I want to challenge us to pray and seek what the community of living that prayer is like, and to really go in deep and find that. And we will make a conscious attempt to pursue that, you know? And we're trying to, if people want to get involved, I mean, we'll have probably some kind of, you know, informal meeting in a couple weeks or something like that. A lot of it, the stuff we're still all talking about, but really feel the Lord wants to push this through. And some of us came here because of the prayer movement. You know, the Lord hasn't forgotten you, you know. The Lord wants to use it. There's so many people in their 20s and 30s, especially the Lord's going to release soon into leadership. Because we're blessed with such depth. And then there's a synergy between the older generations and the newer generations. We're all in this together, you know. It's like, it's not just, you know, getting all the old generation out of the way so we can start doing stuff. That's not what we're talking about. It's like there's a synergy. There's a divine synergy between the generations. There's a connection. And I think he's doing things like that. So I want to pray, and I want to bless, I want to bless Scott's vision. And I think we need to contend and fight for that vision and not give up on that vision. That's what this church was founded on. And the Lord hasn't forgotten all of Scott's pleading and crying out, and we need to honor that as a church because, you know, they've been through a lot and they've endured a lot, and so many that have been here have. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing, what you're calling us to. God, we thank you for the vision you've gave Scott and Kelly and the Beecham family and all those who love them and all those who have stood by them all these years. We pray, God, that you would just continue to increase that, God, that, Lord, this is a house of prayer for all nations. That, God, this isn't just a one-time thing that was, it wasn't a mistake. And this, all this, God, wasn't a waste of time. That, God, this was digging earth. It was, God, plowing. It was breaking soil, Lord, for what you're doing. God, it wasn't lost time. It was good time spent. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of everyone here who has dug in the earth and pulled out all the roots and the brambles and all the things, God, that get in the way of what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, you want to build on that and you want to increase that. You want to bless Scott and Kelly for their faithfulness. You want to bless this church for its faithfulness through all these years. And Lord, you want to do a new thing and redeem the times and the seasons, God. So Lord, we just release that redemption. We thank you, Father, that you're calling us to a community of love, a community of the Father's heart. Thank you, God, that you're using all these gifts and all these different people and all these wonderful people here, God, to do. And Lord, we say yes to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.